Good morning. Today is Tuesday, November the 14th. Joining us this morning from the food bank, Carly Robbins. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, you dressed like it's supposed to be cold today.
Yeah. Well, I heard the rain when I got up this morning.
Oh. Yeah. And some of us forgot to close roofs and vehicles. I don't know. For whatever reason, it's the little kick-up thing.
Mm-hmm. Get you every time.
Seems to pretty regularly for me, too. All right. You ready for your... Oh, it's a new category this morning. Customs.
Oh.
You ready?
Well, I'll give it a shot.
All right. Why do we say hello when we answer the phone?
Oh. Way of greeting? Who knows?
The first word used to answer the phone was the nautical... Oh, that's interesting. The first word used to answer the phone was the nautical greeting, ahoy, because the first regular phone system was in the maritime state of Connecticut. Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor, answered with a Gaelic hoy, but it was Thomas Edison's greeting of hello, an exclamation of surprise, dating back to the Middle Ages that caught on. And that's why we use hello.
Surprise, that I didn't
probably
know.
Surprised that somebody was at the other end of the phone at that time.
Uh-huh.
At that time. Speaking of time, I would suspect that this is kind of a crazy one for you guys and gals at the food bank, whether it's receiving or anticipating receiving or distributing or anticipating distributing.
Yeah.
True?
Yes, yeah. November kind of kicked off what we consider holiday season, which will run through the end of December. And in these few months, we will not only receive most of the food that we are donated throughout the year, we're doing a lot of purchasing for holiday items because we know how hard it can be to put a holiday food on the table if funds are already running low. And because it's so hard, we see more people this time of year than pretty much any other time of year. That added pressure to put a family meal on the table while also getting little ones gifts can make it really tough.
This is the prime receiving period.
Yes.
Is that because of outreach, or is that just people think about you this time of the year?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the giving time of year, people, you know, kind of reflect on what they have and how they can give back. So this is where we will see most of the food drives throughout the year, business or otherwise, you know, people. And frankly, it's also the end of the, you know, kind of calendar year. So people who are trying to look at, you know, charitable contributions, anything like that, this is the time of year they're thinking about it. So this is where we will see most donations come in. We won't see this volume of donations probably until May when we do our letter carrier food drive with the local letter carriers union.
Why May for that?
I think that's intentionally because by May, we've typically distributed all of the donated food we receive through the holiday. And, you know, holidays are definitely one of the high times of need for food assistance services because, as we already mentioned, times are tough. Family meals.
Food assistance services. Foods, that sounds like jargon to me.
Oh, well.
Yeah, okay.
Well, food.
We'll let it slide.
Yeah. Okay. I get in the weeds. I have that jargon. But then on the other end, summer is the other time when we see more people coming to the food bank. And that's because children are out of school and they don't have that, you know, added safety net of school meals, breakfast, lunch, sometimes after school snack.
Michael Davies Hughes was on yesterday from the County Office of Ed. And in a frightening move for many, he agreed with me on something.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of either 6 weeks on and 2 weeks off or 8 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever it is for the school year.
Uh-huh.
Would something like that make it easier on those kids that are receiving the food services because the school system will often provide after-school meals?
I think it would depend. I think you'd have to zoom out really far and see how those services in the gaps could be supplemented, I think. You know, no matter what, if they have the time off, there's less time that those children are receiving
right.
the food. But, right. yeah. And then in the summertime, a lot of our, like, Eureka School District here is really good, and a lot of the other kind of central Humboldt.
Yeah, they've got, like, drop-off stuff at the schools.
Exactly. So during the summer times, we're often focusing on the more rural areas where they don't have that kind of ability to continue offering those services in the summertime.
Different types of food products? Mm-hmm. More desirable?
Yeah, I mean, food drive-wise, we always try and guide people towards, you know, obviously nothing in glass that's going to get crushed, those kinds of things.
Probably sauerkraut and beets probably aren't high on the list for, yeah, okay.
No, but I will say food drive food is what kind of gives the food bank the ability to offer variety in what we're giving people. Because typically when we're doing our own food purchasing, you know, it's in bulk, so it's the pretty standard, the beans, the...
Here's a pallet of something.
Exactly. Yeah. So anything kind of outside of the typical comes from food drive food. So if someone does want the beets or pickled asparagus, I don't know what to say. But those...
you pay attention to those people a little bit closer.
That stuff all comes from food drive. And even some of the kind of like alternative foods for alternative diets. So... The nut milks, like we don't have the ability to, we're doing so much bulk purchasing that it's, you know, pallets of milk at a time, but having nut milks or things for people who have lactose or other allergies, that all comes from food drives. So kind of that.
So it's okay to be weird.
It's okay to be weird. Yeah, definitely. I would say, you know, especially if it's like food in your pantry that you know you're not going to eat, you know, for one reason or another, you bought it, didn't like it. Bring it by the food bank. Having that variety can be really nice because a lot of what we focus on is giving people choice in their food pantry visit so that they are walking away with food that they're going to use. We never want to see someone like walk away, sit down on the corner and start taking stuff out that they're not going to use. That's a waste of our resources. It's not going to help anyone.
Oh, I would think that would light up two-thirds of your staff if they saw something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the intent is that people, if they're coming to us, they're in a dire situation often, and hopefully what we're sending them away from with is stuff that they want and will use.
Usable stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cans better than boxes, boxes better than cans?
I mean, really, you know, both are great. Okay. They both have their place.
No preference. Yeah. Yeah, both have their place on your shelf. Okay, gotcha. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Carly Robbins from the Food for People, Food Bank, whatever you want to call it. Some communities have got, they call it like a community pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Some have a food bank. Is there a distinction or is it just labeling?
There is. Food banking typically is kind of the large scale receiving distribution to partners of food. Often in big cities, food banks themselves don't do any direct distribution to people. They're more of like the main source.
Like a clearinghouse almost?
Almost, kind of. And up here, because we're rural and remote, we operate in kind of both ways. So Food for People, we do that. We have a network of, I think, 22 food pantries throughout the county that we provide food to every single month. So we're actually in the middle of what we call our pantry week, where our drivers are palletizing all the food, putting it in the trucks, delivering, you know, anywhere from Oreck, Garberville, Redway, all around the county.
So they're enjoying the rain today, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then Food for People also, we have our own on-site food pantry at our location, and then we do pop-up distributions in lots of the communities that don't have a food pantry. So we do kind of the direct distribution component as well as the warehousing, trucking, distribution end.
The networks that you have got, I know last time you were in, you were talking about how the farmers a lot of times will provide produce. And this is kind of the end of the year.
Yes, it is kind
for
of
them also.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of fresh stuff coming in now, or is that kind of trickled out and now you're more reliant on, I guess, the more traditional?
It's a little bit more traditional. You know, we're definitely still getting produce, but it leans towards what the season is.
We Zucchinis.
Have so many apples right now. Just an abundance of apples, which is great. And then kind of like the root vegetables, even the purchasing we do from local farms, because we have some funds set away for that. We're getting like Brussels sprouts, winter squash, that kind of thing. The variety that you see during the summer has kind of gone down as the growing season goes down. But still, there's plenty to eat in the winter that's produce-centered.
Yeah. Are you able to, legally, I guess, be able to work with some of the products? You mentioned apples.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple buddies to do applesauce
mm-hmm.
or apple juice or apple this and apple that. Is your staff, I guess legally, able to do that? Or do you just have boxes of apples and people get apples?
Boxes of apples and people get apples. Unfortunately, we don't have a commercial kitchen, which is what it would take to be able to legally process foods in that kind of way. That was one of our dreams when we were rebuilding our facility, and one of the dreams we kind of had to take out when the reality of pricing.
Right. Well, then you got containers in also.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are additional elements to that.
Yeah, but sometimes you work with partners in unique ways. One of the things we've done a couple years in a row is, you know, when we get large-scale produce donations, apples being one of them, we got to sort through and see what's...
Yeah, you call out the...
Yeah.
The bad apples.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean they're not usable in another way. So we've actually partnered with Humboldt Cider Company. So all of the apples that can't be distributed for whatever reason, we actually gave to Humboldt Cider, and they pressed just a few weeks ago, I think. And when that comes out, I think probably January, February, sales of that cider, that specific one, is going to come back to help support Food for People and purchasing.
Oh, okay. So they'll use it as a fundraising.
Yeah, it's a fundraising
that's cool.
tool. Yeah, so it doesn't go to waste. It's not going into landfills. It's going to something many people enjoy, and then
or target practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be. You know, that could be a fundraiser all on its own.
You know, you're not the first person to have said that. Well, no, someone wanted to do smash the gross produce with like a baseball bat. But
Yeah. Last week I was doing half days because of the cold. And I got sucked into the Halloween wars with pumpkin carving.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. I'm amazed at the talent pool that some people have got that they can draw from and set that aside. But the variety of pumpkins. Most of us think, okay, you got pumpkins, and now you've got those that have got the bumps all over them.
Mm-hmm. Those are cool.
These guys had got some 3,000-pound pumpkins, and they had some really itty-bitty pumpkins. And the amount, I hadn't realized the amount of flesh inside these things really varies significantly. It's not just the ones you see at the grocery store that are growing in the fields locally.
I know. I don't know if you've seen him. There's a local guy, I think his name is Mike Craighead, who competed on that show.
Oh, really?
It's an amazing
It's an art form.
Yeah.
Which is really weird, you think about it, because the shelf life of that has got to be really short. but
it's
the ability,
real cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And these the visions that people have got. Do you do more than just foodstuffs? I mean,
I know
there's Toys for Tots and some of those folks also, but are there other things that people are kind of surprised?
Well, I mean, on our end, the stuff that's not directly food related kind of ties around food in some way or another. We have someone on staff who does nutrition education, so she'll do like cooking classes, taste tests, demos. She'll even do cooking videos.
Just can't sell them because of the commercial kitchen element? Okay.
Yeah, but we can teach people how to use the stuff. And often, you know, a lot of the stuff the food bank gets, people might not be familiar with, or how to cook, things like dried beans. Lots of people, you know, that, you know.
There's an art form there.
There's an art form there. So teaching people how to use those things, stretch their budget is really important. We also do CalFresh assistance for application recertification because it's kind of the process can be a beast to get through. So can help people kind of navigate those systems.
A state program that's tough to get through. We'll have to reflect on that. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Carly Robbins. As you look at how the food bank works, and you've kind of been in your new digs for a while now,
mm-hmm.
are there some systems that are having to be massaged?
Oh, sure.
And worked, and yeah. How does that come about? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, we just moved in.
I know, you got all the new spanking new, so everybody's thinking this is wonderful.
Wonderful.
And now you start doing the gap management or the fine-tuning parts.
Yeah, we're definitely in the, okay, this system worked when we were in four different buildings. How, you know, is it especially redundant now? How can we simplify, you know, other things that we started? We need to, you know, tighten back up. We still have a few corners of the building where stuff just got shoved because we needed to move, and we're starting to sort those out. But yes, system change, and thankfully our team's been really on board with like looking at it now. How can we improve this system now?
So they're self-critiquing.
Well, I think they're looking at the systems,
how do we make it a little bit better, a little bit faster, a little bit easier?
Yeah, because there's definitely still that excitement, you know. We got this. This is the first time many of our staff have worked with new equipment. I mean, we've been working out of old.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. a lot of duct tape was used.
You know.
So to speak.
It's a charity. We work on a shoestring budget oftentimes. So having the new.
Oh, so the Maserati in the parking lot isn't yours.
No, less.
Okay.
But so having the new equipment and the flexibility to think a little bit about how to improve what we're doing has been really exciting for everyone.
Do you do road trips?
Personally? Staff?
Go and visit others in the region. You know, how does Medford or how mm-hmm. does Reading or Sacramento or, you know, different facilities, how do they function? How do they operate?
Yeah.
Not with the physical constraints, but the systems.
The systems. We do, actually. When we were building our facility, we did a lot of that. There's kind of our partner food bank down in Santa Rosa, which is called Redwood Empire. They had recently done a new rebuild, so we went down to check out their systems.
Oh, really? They've got a new facility?
Well, it was new when we started our process. It's probably 8 or 10 years old at this point. But,
gotcha.
You know, how time flies. But we do a lot of that kind of sharing in general. You mentioned Mendocino, the Fort Bragg Food Bank, mm-hmm. just purchased some new warehouse space. So I went down not that long ago to check it out, meet with their director, talk about some ideas for truck sharing possibly, or load
sure,
shares.
Transportation costs certainly uh-huh. have got to be factors now that
uh-huh.
were a little bit more impactful on the budget than what they had been historically.
Exactly. We already kind of have some of those systems in place with our partners in Del Norte, who do the food banking up there. And, you know, we had a visit from the folks in Reading just a couple months ago because they're looking at kind of how to redo some of their systems. And we had this brand new building and they wanted to come check it out. So there is a lot of that knowledge sharing within kind of the California food bank system.
Is there a significant distinction between the states? Or is it just that kind of artificial thing called the state line?
Well, I'm sure there is because programs are a little different state to state. We have what's called the
First Five is probably not. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. But here in California, we have an association that kind of provides assistance to California Food Bank. So it brings us together pretty frequently. So that helps with kind of that knowledge sharing and just how food banks operate. Also, California has, you know, its own systems for, you know, outside of the kind of standard USDA. They have a couple of other funding sources. So a lot of our food banks partner on those kinds of things to maximize.
A lot of for grant writing and things of that nature? Or
no,
the,
but
the
I would love
that.
That.
Yeah, I would think that there would be potential in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there seem to be grants available in so many areas.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But you get a lot of knowledge sharing. You know, food banks are all very different. As I mentioned, like a food bank in a city looks very different from a rural food bank. So, you know, oftentimes when I'm in the room, one of the food banks with the most comparable issues that we're facing when it comes to transportation, all of that, is actually Imperial Valley. So,
because they're out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah. I mean, kind of
similar.
Or
they just have a lot of trucks.
Well, they're kind of similar to us in that it's out in the middle of nowhere compared to other centralized food banks. Like,
they probably don't have a lot of apples, though.
No, I'm guessing not. But they got lots of other. They're in the middle of ag country, so they got a lot of other stuff going on.
Do you do exchanges? I mean, could you, in theory, have, let's say, a moving van, a large...
box truck, something like that.
Yeah. Full of one product that you're just up to your gills with, drive it down and,
you know,
basically
I think,
do a quick exchange with somebody else, and they get stuff they don't normally have and you get stuff you don't normally have?
We'd have to explore that. Transportation costs are pretty costly up here specifically.
Right.
So it would have to make it worth the...
Oh, you're looking at me when you're saying that. Make it worth my time. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
You know, make it worth the trade.
Yeah. Now, is meat part of this equation also?
Certainly. We right now we've done a lot of purchasing ahead of the holiday season to make sure that we can kind of offer families some kind of holiday type meat. We can't do turkeys for everyone that we serve because we're looking at about 21,000 people in the county right now. We can't do that many turkeys, but we purchased with a combo of turkeys, chickens, hams. So kind of based on family size, we can make sure everyone's walking away with something.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking in some of the areas in the valley where it's ranch land.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of cattle. Well, okay, not too many cattle. You know, have green associated with them that you want, but that wouldn't mean necessarily that there's not a lot of donations that way or at the end of the auctions at the county fair. Do you guys get any of that?
We do, yeah. Actually, when lots of local businesses will go out and purchase, you know, like a steer or something at the auction and donate that food to the food bank, which is hugely appreciated.
Yeah, I would think. Maybe you could sponsor a 4-H team.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, the 4-H kids are great. It's really nice to, you know, see them be excited that this, you know, steer or pig sometimes that they've spent all this time raising is going to go to help people. They really like to see that.
It's a little extra kick for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Unless they're standing in the back of the animal, and that probably isn't a good thing to have happen, huh?
I don't know how that end of it works, but.
Well, when they kick.
Uh-huh.
You're thinking again, aren't you? All right. Well, time for a break. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Carly Robbins from the Food Bank, Inc., et cetera, Food for People, pantries. if folks want to donate, help out, that kind of stuff, is there still time?
Definitely. We are heading into Thanksgiving next week, but we try and make sure that, you know, we're providing the food people need to celebrate the holidays, Thanksgiving through Christmas. So if someone is interested in donating, helping out, volunteering time, we can definitely use it right now. Foodforpeople.org, you can find out all the information. We have food barrels out in the community. Right now, most of the local high schools are kicking off their holiday food drive. They do a big showdown with Senator McGuire that's going to culminate on December 7th at the Eureka Safeway. So if your local high school student comes out to you, that's a wonderful way to help support and also help support our local student leaders.
Make it easy.
Yeah, make it easy and also support them. They put a lot of work in this time of year, and they get really creative with how they collect food.
So what are the, if you, I know you have your wish list, so it's crazy. If you shared your wish list,
yeah.
What are the top three or four things that you really can use this time of the year?
I would say protein staples are kind of at the top of our list typically. So that
is
can
that like jerky?
Jerky is definitely one of them. Canned fish, canned meat, those kinds of things. But also peanut butter is a pretty good one for families with picky kids. It could be a good protein source and is usually a crowd favorite. Most of those things. But also, as I mentioned before, you can kind of think of it like your own shopping trip, those little things you buy at the grocery store that help make your pantry feel like home can be really important these times.
What about the some of the goodies?
Yeah.
Not that I'm divulging anything, but you know, the cookies, the those types of things, are they welcome also, or because they're not as nutritious, or they're not as this and that, you know, they're not as flexible, those types of things, do they count as much?
I mean, we recognize, even though a lot of what we do is trying to make sure what we're offering is nutritionally balanced, so people are going
away.
Yeah,
you drive your people crazy if...
Yeah. Yeah. We also recognize that, you know, a treat for a holiday, birthday, anything can go a long way to making someone feel normal, feel happy, especially in emergency situations. Those comfort foods are really important. So we offer
cookies
them.
Are okay.
Cookies are okay. You know, often we kind of store our cakes in a special spot so when someone comes in with a family birthday that they can walk away with a cake.
Well, I hadn't even thought about
cake
just because they tend to have a shelf life.
They do tend to have a shelf life, but we pick up at a lot of local stores, so we get some cakes. Mm. But, you know, it's not something you often have and can be tough for some families. We even have a local Sir Optimist group who will put together a bag of everything you need to make a cake, and they donate that to the food bank, which is a nice thing to be able to offer at a birthday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, those special things that kind of, you know, bring to mind what would be, if times were tough, what would be the one thing that, you know, would make family feel happy, normal, be able to celebrate with one another?
Normal is such a tough word.
Normal is a tough word, but especially if...
I'll have to look that one up and get back to you.
Yeah.
I don't think normal is for me.
Maybe not normal, but if you think about your family traditions and what, you know, feels like home to you, if someone's having a really hard time financially, that's probably not in their, you know, in their budget.
Volume size? You need the itty bitties? You prefer the standard, the family size, the gargantuan?
I mean, any and all. We serve families from, you know, just a couple individuals to households of eight or more, you know.
So the
variety.
The warehouse size is still something that you guys can use. You don't have to break it down.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, what I was kind of trying to get to.
Yeah. Sometimes if we get like the 10-pound bags of rice, we'll have volunteers break that down, which is something we can do. But.
No, I'm toying with the concept of buying a 25-pound bag of flour this year.
Oh.
For the store, for the baking I do.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, there's going to be such a commitment to burn that off in 2 or 3 days. Otherwise, I know what I would do.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't quite seal it right, and it would tip.
Yep.
I just, based on historical, I know that would happen. So I'm thinking for you folks, too, if you have to handle it, that's more effort, more energy that can be used doing something else instead of just okay, here's for the large family, here's for the the onesies, twosies.
I will say we do get a lot of help from volunteers that do kind of help with those sorts of projects. So that helps us be able to do those pieces.
Do you need like Ziplocs? Or, I know that's a brand, but and those types of things that could be, that would be utilized towards some of these breakdowns or, you know, maybe like paper plates or something really, what would appear to be simplistic that we don't think about. Often
we definitely go through a lot of bags. we have to purchase a lot of bags, you know, either to send people away with produce or do kind of the packaging of things that need to be broken down into smaller portions.
What about boxes?
We go through a lot of boxes. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because I would think if you're walking out with something.
Exactly. Yep. We repurpose a lot of boxes.
So duct tape is up there too, and packing tape.
Oh yes, of course. That we go through packing tape and us
by the pallet,
yes, and pallet wrap also.
Oh, that's right, boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, even if you're just driving from Eureka to one of your communities, you can't have things shifting in the back.
You can't, no. And you know, often when we buy in bulk, it all comes to the warehouse and we break it down into other pallets to go to different places.
Pallets on pallets.
Mm-hmm.
yeah just It's a little bit different than what I think a lot of people imagine.
Yes. Food banking is interesting because you have, you know, kind of different departments, anything from hard, you know, extreme warehousing, truck driving, forklift to, you know, the one-on-one conversations with people in tough times.
So go to the website.
Foodforpeople.org.
See some of the different options or if you're walking through the store and there's something on sale, buy an extra case and just swing it by.
Or if you're not going to make it to the store, you can donate online, and then we can do that bulk purchasing.
Ooh, you techno-groovy people.
I know. It goes a long way. We can buy in pallets, so we can really get a good deal.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.